certainly enjoyable. I trust this will be too. As Christmas messages are always familiar to us, I thought I would share with us today that part about Mary's song that isn't part of the narrative per se. Now, we all get caught up in that narrative and who's all involved and what's happening when, where, and we can get Mary's song of praise kind of skipped over, almost like a genealogy, you know? Hey, you got this list of names, just go on. Because Mary's song kind of interrupts the flow of the story. And so I thought it'd be good for us. It's there. God has placed it here for us for a reason. And so we're going to spend some time today looking at the unforeseen source of an unbelievable song. It'll be taken from Luke chapter 1. Please join me in your Bibles. If you do not have one, there should be one in the pew rack in front of you. You're going to be about two-thirds, three-fourths of the way through the Bible there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So right in that context there, Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 39, where first we will see an energetic confirmation. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why I am so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Now, this is after Elizabeth and Zechariah have learned they're going to have a child. And now Mary has learned from Gabriel she's going to have a child. Well, upon hearing this news, Mary gets up and goes to see Elizabeth. And she's excited about it, which is important. I'll get to in a moment. But as she's rushing off to Elizabeth, it kind of only makes sense. Because of this exciting news that Mary had experienced, who is she really going to talk about it that would understand what she was going to say? But her cousin, who was much older than her, Elizabeth. So she takes off and she goes and sees Elizabeth. And as she gets there, Elizabeth immediately recognizes that this whole greeting thing is going to be a supernatural experience. And it wasn't the greeting of Mary coming in and saying hello that made any difference in the situation. It was the person who brought it. And Elizabeth immediately recognized several things. One, this was Mary. And Mary was coming with such an attitude, such an excitement, that Elizabeth knew she was coming in faith. Secondly, we can know that as Elizabeth is addressing this, Elizabeth is addressing Mary about the excitement of this event, not because Mary was there, not because Mary was going to be the mother of this child, but because of the child. And that's going to be very important for us to understand as we try to wrap this up for our own Christmas. But what we do know is that Elizabeth was confident this was a supernatural event, and that, notice, she was excited. In a loud voice, she exclaimed. You know, you cannot imagine somebody using a loud voice to say, "Well, hi, how are you?" Elizabeth recognized there was something spectacular going on here. This was the very presence of God, and she responded accordingly. Now, within this, we can see that Elizabeth is confirming Mary's faith. As you know, you can see by the way she's greeting, blessed are you among women. That is the use of the superlative here. Okay, and so what Elizabeth is saying, you are most blessed, you are super blessed among women. But the reason isn't because she's a woman. It isn't because she's going to be a mom. The reason is because the Son is here. And you get to be a part of that. Very significant. But within this, Elizabeth is not only confirming that Mary's faith, but she's confirming that there's this confidence is well placed. She's also confirming God is faithful to his promises and they're being fulfilled right here in front of us. There's a certainty in Elizabeth about what is taking place, and it's rather spectacular. So within this, we can see that Elizabeth is confirming Mary. As Elizabeth is building up, strengthening Mary's faith and confidence in the Lord herself. Edification, a word that simply means building up, is one of the two purposes of the church. And just like Elizabeth was trying to strengthen and encourage Mary in her faith, we are called to do the same for one another. Just like Mary was encouraged, strengthened by Elizabeth's words, so should our families, so should our friends be from ours. Secondly, notice in the intimate application of skipped over verse 45. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. So everything I said about that, just put that verse ahead of it. Okay, verse 46, intimate application. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to... stop there at 49. I must be tired today. Anyway, most of us have in our Bibles, before this section right here, it says Mary's song. You look on down further in Luke chapter 1 and it says Zechariah's song. And it's not like this is some kind of musical where all of a sudden you get to a point that they jump into a song. Yeah, it's not like that. He's a pretty good chap, I tell you. Well, what's happening Tuesday? You're saying it's Tuesday. Ow, you stepped on my toe. It's not like that at all. This isn't musical. The song is just a very important, intense feeling that is being recorded. And it's recorded for us for all time. And that's the reason it's called a song. So for those of you who think you can't carry a tune, doesn't mean you can't have a song. And that's what Mary does here. Mary begins, but in verses 46 through 49, of describing this in a very personal, in a very intimate way. This has to do with her. And so within this recording of the speech, you can see that she quickly identifies the Lord as her own Savior. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. In that day, None of us will stand before the Lord with any hope in our hearts at all if we're there saying, oh, Lord, his Savior. The only hope we can have is, Lord, my Savior. And we can see that this is Mary's personal identification with all believers. Because everyone that is says the exact same thing. My Savior. Mary was probably somewhere in the 13 to 16 year old age range. She hadn't lived a long time. Her life, based upon the world scene, was rather insignificant. She knew there wasn't anything great she'd ever done. She wasn't going to take on City Hall, the Roman Empire. And yet God chose her. So we can see that within this, that we need to take note of the humble state of Mary in this case. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant, speaking of Mary. And of course, she's identifying herself with her whole nation. Israel was in a humble state, because they were under the thumb of Roman rule. It's within this, then, that she says, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. I think one of the things we've got to see here in Mary is that Mary is clearly identifying herself as being there when God is doing magnificent things. Mary maintains her humility through this whole thing. She never makes it about herself. Well, those of you who thought I was insignificant, I'm going to be mom of the Lord. It's never even in her thought. It's never even in the process. But she speaks of herself that for all generations from hereafter, they will look at her as if she is blessed. Why? Because she got to be mom? No. Because the Lord, Emmanuel, God with us, she was right there. She got to be in the very presence when God did his work. And this is a lesson in humility for all of us. Sometimes I think we're tempted to lose our humility when we do great things for God. In that doing great things for God, which one of us is doing that in our own strength? Which one of us is doing that in the power of our own selves? The only way that is even possible is that the Spirit of the Lord's power and presence with our lives enables us to be the clay that gets to be in the room when God's getting his work done. And it is that lesson I think we can see from Mary. She was humble because the focus is never upon Mary. She will be determined to be blessed by every generation throughout all time. Why? Because she was right there when God did his stuff, when God did his work, when the Mighty One, the Messiah, the Son of God, came into the world. Amazing picture from Mary. Within this, we can see that eight times in this song, Mary has stated God has done. This is about his work. This is about what he is doing. May we always remember to be humble and maintain our humility as we seek to work for God. God is great. And he has promised to work among us. And we are blessed to be in his presence as he does his work. Number three, inconclusive invitation, verses 50 through 56. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. It's so funny how that so many so-called Christians don't want to talk about the fear of God. And that just doesn't make any sense to me. Because the only ones who fear God are those who know God. To fear God is to know he is the one we